2 in the afternoon, gunshots ring out in this South Florida high school. Terrified students hiding in classrooms during the gunman's rampage.
This image, one that has become all too familiar. Students evacuating with their hands up. The suspect in that deadly shooting is now in custody. New images this morning showing him being taken to jail. George is outside that.
Holy.
Those were just a few of the tragic and shocking consequences of gun violence in America. 40,000 is the number of Americans killed by guns in 2017. First is the rank of school shootings on a list of issues most likely to motivate young people to vote. 2-1 is the number of American kids killed by guns versus the number of American kids killed by cancer. My name is Shelley, and together with my partner Rory, we're going to present you guys today's podcast, where we will talk about gun violence, why people are pro and con guns, but most importantly, can we find a solution against guns? Find a solution against guns, we first need to start to understand why some Americans are pro and some are con guns.
And I think we don't have to make it a big secret what our opinion is. We are clearly against guns, just like most of the other con gun people. We have pretty similar and simple reasons why we're con guns. For us, guns equal violence, guns equal fear, and they equal pain. Or in the worst and unfortunately more common fact, guns equal death.
Yeah, right. And now, those of you who are pro-gun probably think that what we are saying is not true, a lie, and so on. And you might be right, or maybe we are right. But to understand both sides, we have some interesting statements from a video of the series called Battleground. They started this really cool series where they basically bring two groups of people together from opposite viewpoints and ask them questions. Both sides respond and explain why they responded like they responded. So here are just some interesting statements we picked up on and we thought might explain why people believe in what they believe in.
February 14th was like, obviously it was many things. It was Valentine's Day, my best friend's birthday, and it was the day that 17 people lost their lives at my high school. And it's crazy because it happened the last period, class period of the day, and right before that class, me and my friend looked at each other and we were like, this is just an off day. Like, it just felt weird. Like, and then it's crazy to think that an hour and a half later, that happened. So I remember it was.
The area that I grew up in, sometimes a gun is the only way to protect yourself. You're anti-gun. You don't want nobody to have guns. But then that's going to put my family at danger.
And I saw a kid just holding a gun, pointing at the floor.
People started running and screaming. So I started running and then we heard another gunshot.
I was just standing around with my friends hanging and then a kid started getting mad and he pulls out a gun and shoots my friend, one of my friends at least. He got shot in the shoulder. He's fine right now. And then he walked up to a teacher and says, back up. Teacher started backing up. He pulled the trigger.
People automatically are born are like, I'm pro-gun. Like, I think what you experience in your life makes you that way.
My name is Sarah, It wasn't until recently that my opinion changed on how I felt about guns, and then I became pro-gun in order to protect me and my future family.
I was never pro-gun before, and then some guy broke into my place and raped me. And I couldn't run away, I couldn't do anything, like literally had to lay there and take it. But I knew that if I had a gun at that point in time on my nightstand, I would have defended myself.
The biggest reason people own guns is for protection, but I'm going to tell you why guns do not protect you at all in certain situations. In places like parks, restaurants, schools, and concerts, security measures are always taken. There are police officers and security guards for a reason. They are paid to protect you and everyone else in that area. Let's say something really did happen. You're in a restaurant and someone comes in and holds the cashier at gunpoint. For the safety of yourself and everyone in there, it is not okay to pull out a gun because you will create panic and possibly get people killed. As soon as the robber sees you pulling out a gun, he will not hesitate to hurt someone. One of my dad's best friend was killed because he pulled a gun on a man trying to mug him. He was walking down a public street and a man pulled a gun and demanded his wallet. My dad's friend pulled out his gun to protect himself and he was shot in the head and killed. Guns don't make the situation any better. There's nothing you can do when things like that happen except call the police. Earlier that day, where a man had opened fire in the top of an office building. But while this was happening, there was a large amount of people exiting the building. But after they exited, a few innocent bystanders pulled their own weapons out and started pointing up at the building. So meanwhile, the police arrive, and there are about 5 bystanders with open carry weapons running around. How in the world would the police catch who actually did it? So guns are really cheap for what they are, which means that people who are homeless, living in poverty, or selling drugs have easy access to them. Now, if you really wanted to be safe, I would say don't make it that easy for the crack addicts and the homeless people to buy guns. It's not that hard. Why would you insist on giving your family guns when the people who have problems and will kill you can just get one too? But of course, no one would agree to take guns away completely. So if we can't do that, we could raise the prices. Then the only people who can afford guns aren't the crack addicts and the robbers. If guns were extremely expensive, there would be less crime and suicides. In the United States, children are able to pick up guns and fire them. This is absolutely outrageous, and the fact that you can buy a gun before you can legally consume alcohol does not make any sense at all. Because weapons of mass destruction are readily available, kids under 12 years old are bringing them to school and firing them in classrooms. This is absolutely unacceptable and should not be taken lightly.
Right after February 14th, a whole community of people were hurting.
A whole community of people didn't know what to say, didn't know what to do. Nor should they have. This is an unfathomable thing. We don't want your thoughts and prayers, okay? Stop sending those. That's enough. We are the people who instantly said, this can be prevented, this should have been prevented, and this has been prevented in other countries.
My name is Jacqueline Corin. I'm 17.
I'm Alex Nguyen. I'm 17.
I'm Emma Gonzalez. I'm 18 years old. I can vote.
I'm David Hogg. I'm 17 years old.
My name is Cameron Caskey. I'm 17, and I am a junior member of the Never Again MSD movement, which started in my living room.
Today, we take to the streets in over 800 marches around the globe and demand common sense gun laws. Today is the beginning of a bright new future for this country. And if you think today is good, just wait for tomorrow.
President Trump is not going to be able to walk away from the March for Our Lives. Nobody is going to be able to walk away.
So, now we talked about things that we want to change about gun control in America. But the actual point is, Everybody can talk about stuff. The things we do are what will change our lives. So the people who go out and demonstrate and clearly shout out government that there needs to be a change, those people are the ones who will change the world. One of the first and most well-known of all the recent movements is March for Our Lives. It was founded by the survivors of the Parkland shooting. Hosting the historic March for Our Lives rally in Washington, D.C., cemented the face of its founders like Emma Gonzalez and David Hawks as icons in the student-driven fight for gun reform. The organization already has an impressive list of policy agendas that includes items like universal background checks and high-capacity magazine bans. They also touch on the importance of addressing the roles domestic abuse and mental health play in gun violence. Now, I also want to talk about one of the most recent groups, which is Orange Generation. It launched in the aftermath of the shooting at Santa Fe High School that killed 10 students in May. And survivors quickly formed Orange Generation, orange being the official color of the anti-gun violence movement in America, representing a generation of students that have grown up seeing gun violence in their schools and communities. The group has a few really unique goals. In addition to supporting common sense gun reform, CDC research on gun violence and mental health reform, their website states that they aim to provide rehab services like counselors and PTSD clinics for recovering survivors of gun violence and financial support of to families of people injured in mass shootings.
In conclusion, we both believe that there will never be a solution that satisfies both sides, but there are a few things we believe could drastically change the way things are now, ultimately making our country a safer place. We believe that buying a gun should be like buying a car. Gun deaths have steadily increased since 2009 and are now as lethal as traffic accidents. If guns are as lethal as cars, I believe a more effective policy needs to be put into place. This policy would require every buyer to obtain a license that includes a registration of all purchases and at least a modest training. Doctors can help. Doctors can play a key role in educating families about gun safety, particularly when it comes to keeping guns out of the hands of young children. Studies show that some 3-year-olds are strong enough to shoot a gun. By the time they reach school age, about 75 can fire a weapon. As a result, the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends that pediatricians start asking about firearms in the home when children are 3 years old and curious about the world and objects around them.
No point have I ever proposed confiscating guns from responsible gun owners. So it's just not true. What I have said is precisely what you suggested, which is, why don't we treat this like every other thing that we use? We used to have really bad auto fatality rates. The auto fatality rate has actually dropped precipitously, drastically, since I was a kid. Why is that? We decided we had seatbelt laws. We decided to have manufacturers put airbags in place. We decided to crack down on drunk driving and texting. We decided to redesign roads so that they were less likely to have a car bank. We studied what is causing these fatalities using science and data and evidence, and then we slowly treated it like the public health problem it was, and it got reduced.
If we can set it up so you can't unlock your phone unless you've got the right fingerprint, why can't we do the same thing for our guns? President Barack Obama asked in January 2013. More than 5 years and too many tragedies later, guns aren't much smarter now than they were at the time of the Sandy Hook school massacre. In fact, no truly smart guns are on the market in the U.S. Of course, there will be some of you saying that the taking away from guns won't change anything about safety in America, and that's okay. It's your opinion, but just listen to the end of this podcast and think about our ideas. Maybe you can see sense in some of those ideas. We hope that this podcast inspired you to make a change in America and start saving lives.